We are beginning now our study of the book of Acts, and we're in the first chapter. I want to begin by picking up the story at the fourth verse. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, in the fourth verse, the latter part of that first sentence, and this is what we read in this. We read, "Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me." These are the words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to his apostles that they were to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had personally told them was going to come. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, you'll have time to get them and open them so that you can notice exactly what I'm drawing attention to. I want you to notice that he urged them to wait until they had received the promise of the Father. And you would say, well, what were they going to do? Well, remember, he had told them they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You remember, he had told them to go into every nation and to make disciples of all nations. And now he had been with them for 40 days and was about to leave them. But he told them not to go, not to start out, until they had received the promise of the Father. And this expression, the promise of the Father, refers to the coming of the Holy Spirit. In verse 5 we read, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And that brings to our mind the relationship between these two very prominent preachers of that day and time. John the Baptist, who preached the message of repentance for the remission of sins and urged people to really and truly repent before God in order that their sins might really be taken away by the grace of God. He truly baptized with water, which symbolizes the washing away so far as our sins are concerned. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You remember that John himself said that would happen. He said, I baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me, who the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he it is that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So here he is telling them that they're going to receive the promise of the Father, which will be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we read in verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" They wanted to know what was the next thing that God was going to do, and especially what he would do about Israel, especially what he would do about the kingdom. And by the way, I wonder if any of you have ever known of people who were interested in the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you have known some people that are especially interested in that. And maybe you know some people that get almost excited about it. Perhaps you know that of people who think he's going to come perhaps this year, or maybe within the next 5 years, or maybe within the next 10 years. Some people will think, sure, he's going to come just within this generation, and so on. And they'll talk about it. I think sometimes amongst ourselves, we have a way of discrediting those people. And we look down on them. We feel there's something limited about them. Now, personally, I think they're not wise to raise those questions. And I would personally not engage in any conversation about those things. But I want us all to keep this in mind. I'm not sure that Almighty God in heaven is so very unhappy with people who are that much interested in the coming of the Lord that they are inclined to wonder whether he'll come sometime soon. Now, they'll be unwise if they let their minds dwell upon it. That I know. And the Lord God himself will urge them not to do that. But I am not real sure that that's an occasion for us to think that God's going to be very displeased with them. I can tell you one thing right now. He'll be far more displeased about people who never talk about his coming. He'll be far more displeased about people who don't even think he's coming back, although the scriptures do say he is. What I'm talking about is this. The disciples, when they asked this question, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" were asking a question that's very common in the interest of people who are expecting the coming of the Lord. You may remember that when John the Baptist had finished his ministry, He was in prison, actually awaiting his death. You remember he never came out. He was beheaded in prison. That just before he died, he sent two men, two of his disciples, over to the Lord Jesus Christ to ask him a question. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in the book of 1 Peter, we find that the prophets of the Old Testament searched in themselves diligently what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that was to follow. What I am seeking to say here just now is that this interest in the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the setting up of the kingdom of God here upon earth, this interest in the restoring of the kingdom to Israel according to the promises was not an unnatural interest, and it wasn't even an unscriptural interest. And I want you to notice the Lord Jesus did not rebuke them for that. But notice what he said when you read in the 7th verse. He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Do you notice how he picked up only one phrase of the question to answer? They asked this question, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said nothing about restoring the kingdom. He said nothing about restoring it to Israel. He didn't say that he was going to do it. The one thing he drew attention to was the time. And all he said to them was, It is not for you to know the time. He didn't deny that the kingdom would be restored. Now, I am inclined to say, and I want to just say it to you folks in passing, I am inclined in my own heart to think that it's quite possible that the disciples did not fully understand what restoring the kingdom would imply. That's quite possible. They were just human beings with the scriptures in hand. It's quite possible there were things about it that they didn't know. It doesn't mean to say that the kingdom will be restored to Israel as a nation. It doesn't mean that. They may have thought so. He didn't take time to correct it. And you know, if he didn't take time to correct it, I'm not going to take time to explore it. You see what I mean? I want to draw your attention to the fact that this does not teach, on the one hand, that Israel will be restored or that the kingdom will be restored to Israel, and it doesn't deny it, on the other hand. We're given no guidance about that in the Lord's answer at all. And you know what that says to me? That says to me that he's not going to discuss it with me now. What he is going to tell me is that fixing the time isn't wholesome. Don't think about the time. But that it is such a thing will happen, and that the fulfillment of that scripture will take place, I verily do believe. How, I don't know. When, I'm not even going to think. In what way, I couldn't tell you. And I know there are those who will possibly make suggestions to you. I'm not going to. I just want you to notice this, that the Lord Jesus, in talking about it, didn't say yes or no about that part. I personally think that the very fact he didn't say yes or no implies that something like that, something will happen in the fulfillment of that very idea. But he drew attention to the matter of the time, and the attention he drew to it was that it wasn't for them to know. So look at it again. I've talked a good deal about it, but just take a look at that 6th verse. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And one of the first major things I wanted to say to you was he did not rebuke them for asking that question. He did not say to them they were wrong to think about such things. He did say to them, with reference to the time element, this. He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but there is something for you in the 8th verse. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You think it's just possible that that Holy Ghost coming upon you has something to do about restoring again the kingdom? I wouldn't be a bit surprised. He has directed the attention to another thing. He has said, however, that we'll not know the time, but we will have power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Power is the is a term that we use for effectiveness. You will be made effectual. You will be so blessed of God that your testimony and your witness will make an effect upon people. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And in witnessing, the witnessing will be witnessing with power. You'll tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ, and people will believe and be saved. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And do you know, in that eighth verse, you have a pattern. You have a sweeping, you might say, directive, if we want to use that word. You have a sweeping view of the whole program of the church. If you want to think of it, you have an outline of the book of Acts, but you have an outline of the whole work of the church. It'll always be like this. In Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And if you'll remember the geography of the country, that's like saying, in Jerusalem, at home, in all Judea, that's around in your family, in Samaria, that's among your neighbors, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's as if you dropped a stone into a pool of water, and rings, waves would go out. They'd go out from where you dropped in that stone, they'd go out to the shoreline on all sides. And so it is with the gospel. When the gospel falls into my heart, first in me, then in my home, then with my relatives and friends, then with my neighbors, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. We sometimes have heard the common saying that charity begins at home. Well, I don't know about that, but one thing I know for sure, that Christian experience begins at home. It begins in the heart of the individual, and it will come that way when the Holy Spirit comes to you. He will come inside you first, and then through your people, and out unto the uttermost part of the earth. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, which tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank Thee that He has planned to send His Holy Spirit into the hearts of His people, that they might be witnesses with power to the uttermost part of the earth. Help us to be among them. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.